Good morning. I'm David Chappell. Welcome to this 8 a.m. session. I am so grateful to all of you for showing up at 8 o'clock in the morning to hear about what I would argue is one of the coolest topics out there. It's this. It's Azure and its competitors. Notice the subtitle. I'm not going to do detailed feature comparisons. I'm not. Instead, I want to paint for you in the next 45 minutes the big picture of Azure in the context of Amazon and Google and other big players in this space. Okay? So to do that, let me start where many people are today. Classic enterprise IT. Enterprise IT organizations, not startups, but banks, insurance companies, retailers, all those people, they have something like this. Traditionally, the clients were PCs and laptops. Everyone has data centers with their own infrastructure, servers and all that stuff, on top of which they run packaged applications like SAP and thousands more, and they run custom apps. Great. That's the classic world of enterprise IT. That's the world I'm sure virtually all of you either do work in or at least have worked in, because that's how things have been for a long, long time. But what's happened? As you know, we're seeing the rise of a whole new approach, a new default for the enterprise IT platform. The new default platform looks like this. The clients are still PCs and laptops, but also, of course, phones, tablets. On the server side, data centers are going away. It'll take some time, but they're going away. Except for the big cloud data centers, where SaaS applications are replacing the packaged apps we've always purchased and run on our own computers, and most relevant for our topic here this morning, public cloud platforms are becoming the foundation for building custom apps. And that's so important. Notice, public cloud platforms are the new foundation for competitive advantage. What does that mean? It means that when your organization buys an app, your competitors can buy the same app. Getting real advantage, differentiation from purchased applications is problematic. It's hard because you can all buy the same stuff. The things that really create unique differentiating business value are custom apps, the kinds of things most of you build. And yet, in this brave new world, in this new enterprise default, those things are built on public cloud platforms, which means that public cloud platforms become the foundation for differentiation, for competitive advantage. This is really important, and it means that the choice organizations make of their public cloud platform is critical. So, let's talk about that. Let's survey this space. To do that, though, I want to first make sure we're all on the same page. So if you're all really strong in this area, please bear with me for, I promise you, under 5 minutes while I make sure we all get on the same page here. To do a comparison of the big important stuff that makes some sense in 45 minutes, I have to really simplify. And so the major simplification I'm going to make looks like this. I'm going to say that the public cloud technologies, public cloud platform technologies, there are three big categories. Category number one is technologies for compute. They run new apps, they might run existing apps. Category number two is technologies for data, working with data, storing, analyzing, potentially data. Category number three is everything else. Everything else. Machine learning, identity, integration, all kinds of things. Lots and lots of services. Category three grows all the doggone time. In my comparison this morning, I'm going to focus on categories one and two because that's where most of the money is today. That's where the business aspects of this are most critical. And so that's what drives most people's decisions today around cloud platforms. So, for compute, as you probably know, bear with me, there are two big categories. Category one is called IaaS, infrastructure as a service. I'm an American. I say IaaS. Europeans all say EaaS, it seems. So I'm going to say IaaS, but you can say whatever you like. You know, Europeans also all say Azure, and Americans mostly say Azure, right? There's no correct pronunciation here, as I can tell. So IaaS just means VMs on demand. Go to a website, ask for a VM, you get it. Contrast that with PaaS, Platform as a Service, where you're still running your apps inside VMs, but now you don't see that. You just say, platform, here's my app, run my app, and it runs the app for you. IaaS, PaaS, two approaches to compute. For data, there are a few categories that matter most commercially right now. One of those is object storage. Microsoft calls this blobs. The rest of the world calls it object storage. It's a confusing name. It has nothing to do with object technology. Nothing at all. But it's called object storage. It just means random, that's too strong, raw binary information. Okay? There are also relational data services that provide managed relational services, not just running a database system in a VM, but a managed relational service. And there are also lots of managed NoSQL services, document stores, and so on. Finally, the last category, there's all sorts of stuff here. I somewhat arbitrarily have chosen a couple things to talk about. One of them is identity. The challenge here is that we've got to have some way to do single sign-on to this brave new world of SaaS applications. Active Directory on-premises won't do it anymore. So we're seeing the emergence of competing technologies to become effectively the AD of this new cloud era. Also, machine learning. A way to find patterns in data and then recognize those patterns when they appear again. We're also seeing competition among the various cloud vendors in that area. And there are dozens more services I could compare, lots and lots and lots. And the big players in this space get more and more similar. It's rare these days to find a service that's offered only by Microsoft, only by Amazon, only by Google. They're getting more and more similar all the time. So, speaking of those vendors, I'm going to use this chart to organize my comparison. The columns are technologies, compute, I as in PaaS, data, objects, relational, and NoSQL. And again, I almost hate saying that. It's called object storage. Do not be confused. It's not JSON. It's not an object database. It's got no link to object and programming languages. It's just called object storage for who knows what reason. I'll also look briefly at identity and machine learning. Okay? So, those are the columns of my table. What are the rows of my table? Well, the rows are vendors. And the vendors I'm going to talk about look like this. Microsoft Azure, of course, no surprise. Amazon Web Services, of course, no surprise. Google Cloud Platform, which you also must talk about. And a little bit arbitrarily, I also want to talk about what is arguably the next most important public cloud platform, which is Salesforce, force.com. So I'll discuss each of these four. I will fill in the rows and columns of this table as we go to give you a sense of what technologies each one offers. Okay? Before we do that, I've got to do something else. Lots of you I know come from classic enterprise environments. In those environments, for decades, the major vendors have been IBM and Oracle and VMware and Hewlett-Packard and people like that. And so we're looking here at the future of IT, the present for many of us, but the large future as well. And we're saying that this is the new default platform. But when I compare the vendors, I'm ignoring IBM and HP and VMware and so on. Actually, I won't quite ignore them. I'll come back later on. But why aren't they in my chart? How come those major vendors aren't here? Well, here's why. Understand why. The best thing I know for us to do is to walk through what has happened in this market through the lens provided by consecutive Gartner Magic Quadrants. Look at this. Gartner's very first Magic Quadrant. On public cloud IaaS, which is in many ways the keystone service. It's a harbinger, it's a marker for the overall cloud platform. Gartner's MQ for cloud IaaS first appeared, you can see here, in 2012. I'm sure you've all seen these. In case you haven't, where you want to be in the MQs is in the upper right, up there. Where you don't want to be in the MQs is the lower left, down there. Okay? So this is good. This is bad. So who's up in the upper right? Amazon. This is 2012, right? Amazon was the first vendor in this market. They were the leader, clearly. Neither Microsoft nor Google had yet offered IaaS. In 2012, Azure was out there, but doing only PaaS, not IaaS. Also in here, this is so mystifying, Gartner decided that all these hosting companies, like, who are these people? Savvis? Who are these people? Gartner said they're going to be important cloud players here. Gartner was, I think, mistaken about that. So that was their first shot at the IaaS MQ. Then, the next one, about a year later, Amazon is still out in front, way out in front. Microsoft had just begun offering IaaS a couple months earlier. So to have this brand new 2-month-old service that was already in the visionaries quadrant, not too bad, not too bad, okay. Google's not yet doing IaaS. This is what? This is 3 years ago. 3 years ago in our industry? It's like ancient history. They spoke Latin and Greek back then. Right? That's how old this is. 3 years is forever in our business. So Google wasn't even here yet, and Microsoft had just entered the IaaS world. Look at this. Look at poor IBM. Sunk in the lower left corner. You cannot get a worse position on MQ than that. So IBM is really in trouble 3 years ago. Here's the next MQ. What happens? Amazon's still the leader, but Microsoft now makes it a two-horse race. Microsoft is now also a leader in the leaders quadrant. Great. Google has finally entered this market, and they're about where Microsoft was the year before. Look at this. Other big enterprise vendors. IBM, in classic IBM style, bought somebody, a company called SoftLayer. Moved over a little bit here, some progress. But look at VMware, look at HP. They're still sunk down in that lower left-hand quadrant. You know, officially, Gartner calls that quadrant the niche players quadrant. I can never resist this, though. To me, that quadrant is the losers quadrant, okay? So the upper right is the leaders quadrant, the lower left is the losers quadrant. And if you look, this is just 2 years ago, 2.5, major vendors, VMware, HP, are sunk in the losers quadrant. What happened last year, 2015? Here's that MQ. Look at this. Still leaders, Amazon. Microsoft closed the gap a little bit. Google's still here. But notice some other things. IBM's position's actually gotten worse. That's worse than the year before. Getting worse in an MQ is not a good thing. And what else has happened? HP's gone. HP bailed. They said, we can't do this. VMware is still sunk down there in the lower left. Just about. And now this is the most recent one, August of this year. Look at this. Microsoft and Amazon are up there, not too far apart as the leaders. Google is still kind of hustling around there in the visionaries quadrant. Every other vendor in this space is a niche player. A nice way of saying they're all in the losers quadrant. This is why, in my chart, I'm only talking about Microsoft, Amazon, and Google. And Salesforce, playing a different game, we'll see. Because everybody else is not really serious here. It's hard to overstate what this means for enterprise IT. It means after decades in which IBM and HP and VMware have been central vendors, that in the new default platform going forward, other organizations are going to take that spot. Microsoft's the only one that actually traverses both the old world and the new world. Big change, big change. So, speaking of Azure, as I'm sure many of you know, Azure's IaaS technology is called Virtual Machines. Azure has a variety of PaaS technologies. I'm showing two of them here, App Service and Service Fabric. You know, brief pause. There's lots more I could talk about. I could compare container services, which all of these guys have. Not quite all, the big ones, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, all of container services. I could discuss functions as a service, which all of them have. I just chose not to because I'm focusing on the big markets today and I only have 45 minutes. So, just so you know, there's lots more we could do. But all of these guys have offerings in all the main categories. They're getting more and more similar. The classic mark, is it not, of a maturing market? But when you look back 3 or 4 years, Google, Amazon, Microsoft offered quite different sets of things. But as markets mature, products become more and more similar, and you wind up with commonality across everything, which is what you see now. Object storage, Microsoft calls their offering Blobs. For relational data, the managed service is called SQL Database. For NoSQL, there's a bunch of them. There's DocumentDB, there's Tables, there's more. For identity, Microsoft has Azure Active Directory, providing cloud-based identity services. And for machine learning, Microsoft has Azure ML. Okay? An assessment here of Microsoft. Microsoft was slow in offering IaaS. Microsoft actually released Azure about 4 years after Amazon first released its IaaS, its object storage technologies. So Microsoft 4 years late. Late's the wrong way to say it. Behind Amazon. And when they released Azure, it only had PaaS. Microsoft believed that PaaS was how to go, that people like you should all build all your new apps on PaaS. And here's what happened. What happened was, Microsoft is probably right about that in a conceptual sense, that over time, we're all but certain, I believe, to see more and more new apps built on PaaS. But as organizations like yours embraced public cloud platforms, IaaS, raw VMs, supported so many more scenarios, especially lift and shift. Take what I have, move it to the cloud, boom. So it turned out that IaaS was what the market really wanted in droves. It took Microsoft a while to get there. And so they recovered, they have recovered, pretty quickly. You've seen in the MQs how well they're doing. But that's why they were behind. You realize, of course, that when I say things like, that's why they were behind, I'm giving you my personal opinion. It's correct, of course, right? But still, it's a somewhat subjective view, all right? What else? Microsoft's got really strong customer relationships. To the extent that enterprise IT leaders are buying cloud platforms, that's a big win for Microsoft. To the extent that developers like you make these choices, it's unclear how much that matters, because you're less likely to make choices based on your vendor relationship. While IT leaders, CIOs and so on, are often very much wired to the relationship. It matters a lot to them for good reasons. They're not stupid. And one more big thing here about Microsoft is that Microsoft has this hybrid cloud story. There's this thing called Azure Stack, which you might have heard of. If you haven't, I'll discuss it a little bit in my closing keynote this afternoon. Azure Stack takes a subset of Azure services and puts them as software in your data center. So Microsoft is strong on the notion of hybrid cloud, running cloud services both on-premises in your organization and in the public cloud. Here's Amazon. Amazon, as you saw, remains the leader in Gartner's MQ for public cloud IaaS. And the services that are analogous to those in Azure look like this. Its IaaS service is called EC2, Elastic Compute Cloud. Its core PaaS service is called Elastic Beanstalk, which I have to say is one of the strangest names in the history of technology. But naming is hard. All the good names are taken. So it's really hard. So anyway, interestingly, Amazon, who did IaaS originally, has never been super focused on PaaS. Microsoft has, from the get-go, been a big PaaS believer. As I said, it took a while for them to embrace IaaS. But Amazon has always been very IaaS-focused. And they offer Elastic Beanstalk, have for quite a while. But they don't really focus on it much. They're not super PaaS-oriented. They now have this thing called Lambda, which is like Azure Functions. And so that is, I would argue, a flavor of PaaS. That is what they call serverless computing. To me, it's a flavor of PaaS. But they're focused more on that in the last year or so. But up to that time, Amazon has not been very PaaS-oriented, unlike Microsoft, who, as we've seen, have been very PaaS-oriented. Object storage, that's S3, the simple storage service in Amazon. Relational, this thing called RDS. For NoSQL, their main NoSQL service is DynamoDB. They have others as well. For identity, for offering a service that will become something like the Active Directory of the public cloud world, allowing single sign-on to SaaS applications around the globe, Amazon has nothing. They're not in that market, which I think is really interesting, but they're not in that market. They do have a machine learning technology called Amazon ML that's analogous, I guess, to Azure ML, but a lot simpler. It's a lot simpler. Well, you could argue, I would argue, that Azure ML was designed primarily for data scientists, not for developers. Amazon ML was designed clearly for developers. And as a result, it's really simple. As machine learning technologies go, it's quite simple. Straightforward to use, but more limited. The classic trade-off. I would expect to see Amazon ML get more complicated and Azure ML get simpler. I'd expect to see them, their functionalities get closer together over time. We'll see. An assessment here of Amazon. AWS is the most remarkable of things. It is a startup doing wholly innovative new stuff that never had to pivot. It's a startup that got it right out of the box immediately. That's such a rare thing. And as you see, the things they first released, IaaS and blob storage, object storage, S3, remain the biggest markets in public cloud platforms. They were right immediately, which is a rare thing. It took their competitors a while, as we've seen, to really believe that, but it's true. They are viewed as a leader in the market. They were the first mover, obviously, as we've seen. But one big distinction between Amazon and Microsoft is in the hybrid area. AWS has been laser-focused on the public cloud. They have called private cloud, cloud services in your data center, false cloud. They've said, that's just stupid. Don't do that. Go right to public cloud right now. That's been their position. Which is better? Pure public cloud all the time or Microsoft's hybrid approach? Which is better? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. I'm inclined personally to think Microsoft's approach is more in line with what your organizations actually want today. But we're going to find out. We'll see. All right. Next, Google. Google Cloud Platform. Compute Engine is their IaaS technology. App Engine is their PaaS technology. Their object storage technology is called Cloud Storage. Excellent name, in my opinion. Their relational is called Cloud SQL. Their NoSQL is called Cloud Bigtable, Cloud Data Store. A couple options, like most folks do. They also don't have any identity technology. Now, by what I mean by that is not they don't control access to their platform. Nothing like Azure AD that tries to become a general identity service for the whole internet. They don't compete in that space. But they do have, they do have, I don't show it here, they do have Google ML as well. There's a machine learning technology in their platform. So, assessing Google. They, like Microsoft, began with App Engine. They began with a PaaS technology. That was their original view. That's interesting, because they made the same bet Microsoft did, that the market wants PaaS. Were they right in that bet? No. No, they weren't. The market does want PaaS, but it wants IaaS a whole lot more. And so as we saw when I walked through the Gartner Magic Quadrants, it took Google quite a while to enter the public cloud IaaS market. That's part of why they're down lower in that Magic Quadrant. Google finally appears to be serious about cloud platforms. I mean, they're playing technology catch-up here, obviously. But for the longest time, it was really hard to believe that Google was actually serious. It was really hard. I mean, come on. Google's revenue model in almost everything is advertising. This is not ad-based. You're not going to monetize this through ads. And it was such a different thing for Google. It's a big enterprise play eventually. It's just so unlike what they do. And so it was really hard to take Google seriously here. Then they hired Diane Greene, the former CEO of VMware, to run their cloud stuff. Well, that's a statement about something. They gave us IaaS. They look more serious today. But they're still pretty far behind, and they're still dealing with some cultural challenges where this is just not their main approach to business. So we'll see. Now, one thing, Google has so much scale, they've often been a price leader. They've said that prices should follow Moore's Law, which is a way of saying prices should drop precipitously. So they've been forcing prices down to some degree. However, look at this. In Gartner's most recent public cloud IaaS Magic Quadrant, actually cloud IaaS, the one I showed you earlier, here's what they say in that document. The market for cloud IaaS consolidated around the two leading service providers. The future of other service providers is increasingly uncertain. Whoa. What they mean there is Amazon and Azure, the two leaders. The future of others is uncertain. They follow this text by saying, if you choose somebody else besides Amazon or Azure, you ought to be very careful. So that was a remarkable statement. It was a remarkable on their part. I was really surprised to see that. They're not saying that Google's written off, but they're not too far from saying that either. So if you, like me, believe that the future default enterprise IT platform is what I showed you, it's SaaS apps and public cloud platforms, then we largely know the shape of the future today. We know that Azure and Amazon are going to divide that market for the most part. The woman who owns this Gartner Magic Quadrant is named Lydia Leong. I have never met Lydia. I have never even spoken to Lydia, though we've exchanged messages. But I love Lydia. And the reason I love Lydia is that she does such good work. If you care about this space at all, go find these documents, like the most recent Gartner MQ for IaaS, and read it. These things are beautiful. They're just works of art. They're really well thought out, really well done. I love them. All right, one more vendor, Salesforce. Now, Salesforce, as most of you know, sells primarily an app, a CRM application, a SaaS CRM application. But look at this. They've got this platform called Force.com. Their platform has a PaaS technology. It has no IaaS technology. It has a NoSQL database. It has no object storage. They have identity. They have no machine learning. This is interesting. They're a public cloud platform, but they're not offering services in the really big markets, public cloud IaaS, object storage. The truth here is that Force.com is playing a very different game. They're not competing in the main head-to-head with Amazon, Microsoft, Google. How could they? They lack the scale that those three vendors have. Instead, Salesforce is playing a very different game with Force.com, and they're playing it really well. They're playing it really well. Their platform is most often, not always, but typically sold as an add-on, an adjunct to CRM. And so lots of their users are people building custom apps that add on to or customize CRM. Or what Salesforce will say to you is, hey, listen, you've got all your customer data in our cloud anyway. When you build custom apps to work with that data, why not build them on Force and then use it directly in the cloud? It's a good argument. It's a good argument. It makes sense. Force.com is aimed at enterprise developers. So it's relatively straightforward to use. You can build real apps with just point-and-click tools. Or if you want to, you can use Apex, their Java-like language. So it's interesting. And one more thing. The customer lock-in to Force is absolute. It's absolute because their language, their tooling, their data formats are all wholly proprietary. So once you've built things on Force, you're there indefinitely. Now compare that with Amazon, Microsoft, Google, all of which have proprietary aspects, certainly, but all of which also fundamentally are built on Windows Server and Linux. And so these environments are reasonably standard. I'm not saying totally portable, but they're also not the wholly unique, idiosyncratic, lock-in approach that Force.com takes. Now, is that bad? Are customers troubled by the fact that Force.com locks you in? In my experience, no. You'll talk to these guys, say, you're locked in. They'll say, yeah, what's your point? I built these great apps that work really well. They don't care. So, is it a negative? Probably not. The key point here is that force is playing a very different game, and it's playing it quite well. In fact, look at this. Here's the Gartner Magic Quadrant for enterprise PaaS. For PaaS, the leader is Force.com, because this MQ is focused on enterprise applications. Microsoft is second. Microsoft's got lots of PaaS, but its PaaS technologies are more aimed at mainline developers, ISVs, people like you, less so at point-and-click enterprise developers. So in this MQ, Gartner puts Force a bit above Microsoft. The rest of this market is just a mess. Google is there. Google's PaaS technology was released before Azure. It came out in 2008, and it's still a challenger. Another example of why people have a hard time believing that Google is serious in this market. They've had 8 years make this better, and they haven't in a serious way. And there's lots more vendors here. It's a big mess. Right? PaaS is a big mess in terms of the market. Unlike IaaS, where public cloud IaaS is sorted down to Azure, Amazon, and maybe Google. I can't not mention IBM. IBM has been such a dominant vendor in our industry for decades. And yet, here's what's happened to IBM in this space. They began with various half-hearted initiatives. None seemed serious, and no one took them seriously. You saw how far sunk they were in the lower left of the Gartner MQ a few years ago. So as I mentioned earlier, they bought SoftLayer in 2013. SoftLayer was half hoster and half cloud provider. And so even today, IBM will tout the fact that SoftLayer can sell you bare metal as well as VMs, unlike Azure, Amazon, Google, who sell you VMs. Okay, that's interesting. But there's a huge issue with IBM. And the huge issue is money. Public cloud platforms are a deeply capital-intensive business. In Corey's keynote yesterday, he showed that very cool video, wasn't that cool, of the data centers? Spending these billions on data centers requires really deep pockets. Amazon has those pockets, Microsoft has those pockets, Google has those pockets. IBM, not so much, because IBM's revenues are declining for the last few years. So even if IBM wanted to be serious in this market, it's hard to see how they could, because they probably lack the funding to invest at the scale required to succeed. So, I and most other people I know who follow this space are fairly skeptical of IBM's chances here. I'm also deeply skeptical of the chances of VMware. VMware, of course, is so important on premises with virtual machines and so on, but in the world going forward, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, they don't use VMware in the cloud. They use Xen or Hyper-V or something else. They don't use VMware, of course. And so VMware also had first tried to get hosters to use their software to offer public cloud IaaS. And the hosters mostly said, nope, don't want to do it. Too expensive, not enough differentiation. So VMware then has its own cloud, vCloud Air, that provides vSphere-based IaaS. It's not gotten great traction, though. It's not really a public cloud platform in the full sense of Azure, Amazon, Google. And so what they've done here is they partnered with Google to let Google provide things for them like object storage, potentially. But you saw where VMware was in the Gartner MQ. VMware is just not doing terribly well in this space. And it's hard to see how that's going to change, despite their overwhelming market share on premises. In the cloud platform world, it's hard to believe they'll still matter. Hard to believe. Speaking of storage here, here's the Gartner MQ for public cloud storage. This is mostly object storage, blobs. And so what do you see? No big surprise. Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and everyone else. I've begun to think of these, the IaaS quadrant is like this as well. I've begun to think of these as leaders and losers quadrants, because that's what you have. You're either a leader or you're a loser, and that's it. There's nobody else in between. The reason for that is that public cloud IaaS and cloud storage like this, blobs, object storage, are so driven by scale. You either have the scale or you don't. If you have the scale, you can be a leader. If you don't, you're going to be a loser. That's what these things look like. I'm not suggesting that this will apply across every service in a public cloud platform. I'm not saying, for example, that machine learning will look like this. But the ones that are driven by scale, public cloud IaaS, object storage in particular, have both sorted out into leaders and losers magic quadrants. No giant surprise. Maybe you've seen Microsoft do this. Microsoft will often show the various MQs from Gartner and say, look, we're a leader in all of them. And they're not wrong. But there's another point to be made here, which Microsoft seldom makes, but I want to make. They're in the leaders quadrant across all these guys, IaaS, PaaS, cloud storage. But if you look closely, you'll see they're actually in second place. They're in second place across all three of them. Now, is this not a classic Microsoft strategy? To not always be the best at something, but to be good enough across a wide range of things to be your choice. That's classic Microsoft. That's SharePoint, I would argue. That's worked so well in so many different technologies. It's happening here as well. So one last quick summary slide here before I have my closing section, just a second here. One way to think about public cloud platforms for enterprises that I find useful is to look at them on these two fairly subjective dimensions. How strong they are in the cloud versus how strong they are in the enterprise. There are plenty of vendors, there are a few vendors actually, who are very strong in the cloud, Amazon, Salesforce, Google, but who don't have much traditional enterprise strength. There are other vendors who are very strong in enterprises, IBM, VMware, but have limited cloud strength. The uniqueness of Microsoft in this market is there in the upper right corner. They have both cloud strength and enterprise strength. In fact, I don't work for Microsoft, but looking at them from my perspective, they are the only enterprise vendor, major enterprise vendor, who is navigating this move to the cloud in a way that I think is really effective. It's remarkable. Let me end by going back to the big picture. Let me end by going back to this diagram, the new default platform, where we have diverse clients, public cloud platforms, SaaS applications. If this is, in fact, the new default platform for enterprise IT, and it is, then the question you should be asking is, who are the vendors I'm going to be working with, and what are they offering across this whole space? So let me close by quickly summarizing that picture. To do that, I want to get a little more detail. In public cloud platforms, for example, we know there's lots more services, IaaS, PaaS, Blobs, NoSQL, we discuss those. Across SaaS applications, there are all sorts of categories, of which the most important include things like email, collaboration, productivity, CRM. In the client side, there are platforms, operating systems, for PCs and laptops, for tablets, for phones. Let me take this diagram and walk through all the major vendors and show you what they're doing in this space. We'll start with Microsoft, where the public cloud platform is Azure, of course. It offers the things I've discussed already in those various categories. For SaaS applications, they have all sorts of things. Office 365, including Exchange and SharePoint, Dynamics CRM, and so on. For clients, they've got Windows 10 for laptops and PCs, for tablets, Windows 10 phone, Windows 10 mobile for phones. I think Microsoft might wish they had more market share in the phone world, but they have an OS targeting all those things. So, unsurprisingly, the world's biggest software company, Microsoft, is addressing that whole space, all aspects of this new default platform for enterprise IT. Amazon, as we've seen, is very strong in public cloud platforms. They don't do identity, which always surprises me, but they don't, in the same way Azure AD does. In SaaS applications, they've got a couple of things. They've got workmail. They've got this WorkDocs thing that's sort of a very limited collaboration technology, sort of, but they're not very focused there. They're also not focused on clients. They've got Kindle Fire, which is really a consumer technology, not enterprise. And my focus here today is enterprise. So AWS is focusing on one part of this story. Google fills in these diagrams pretty well. Google Cloud Platform addresses lots of these areas, as we saw earlier. For applications, they have Gmail and Google Docs and things like that. Great. On the client side, they've got Chrome. They've got Android, which you might have heard has some market share. So in terms of breadth of coverage, Google's got a strong story here. Google's challenges in the cloud, at least in cloud platforms, I've said already. The challenge for cloud platforms with Google is, are they serious? Do they mean it? Open question. Salesforce, with Force.com, addresses a few of these areas, built primarily around CRM, their core SaaS application, and they don't address the client platform space. Once again, Salesforce is playing a different game, doing something quite unlike Microsoft with its broad platform play. IBM, who's been such an important platform for so many years, for so many enterprises, has SoftLayer with a few things in that space. SaaS applications, though, client side, nope, nope. They're just not there. Similarly, VMware has vCloud Air with a few things being offered in the public cloud. But as far as apps, as far as clients, nope. So you see here very different approaches taken by leading enterprise vendors to addressing the challenges of this new default enterprise IT platform. Finally, we're seeing such a big change, aren't we? All the parts are changing at once. Clients have exploded into tablets and phones. Applications become SaaS apps. Platforms become cloud platforms. It's all changing at once. It's an enormous transformation. And so everybody, all of your organizations, are in the process right now of choosing your partners for this new world. I encourage you, recognize how important this is. You might think, oh, well, I'm just kind of messing around on this technology in the cloud. No. No, you're choosing a partner, a platform partner, for the next decade, maybe longer. These are big decisions. It's like getting married, right? These are big decisions. You got to take these seriously. Take these really seriously. I was in Bogota, Colombia, a little while ago. I met with a CIO and his reports. And we talked about cloud platforms. And they chose a cloud platform. And I said, well, why'd you choose that one? And the CIO said, I don't know, ask my tech guy. Tech guy was there. I said, why did you choose the one you chose? He said, because I tested a few of them, and this one gave us VMs in 2 minutes at IaaS, while that one took 3 minutes. So we chose this one. I'm sorry, people. That is a stupid way to choose cloud platforms. That's a very technically focused, narrow perspective. You are choosing a partner for a long time to come. When the CIO heard that story, he made the guy reassess the whole decision again, right? And they changed their mind. Because that's not how you make this choice. This is not just a narrow technology choice. You are choosing a technology platform partner for a long time to come. I encourage you, take this decision seriously. Thank you.